And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by the three amigos, Alan, Merge, and Big Swole Big Raj.
Olay!
Okay. You sounded like LeBron on his Taco Tuesday crap that he was doing, and then he realized he can't trademark it, so he stopped.
At least I'm not doing that.
Oh god. Oh man. Anyways, we are already on a roll. We've been talking at least an hour. So we realized we haven't been recording. So,
all right, guys, it's been fun. Join us in that podcast.
We've got a lot of. I don't know. I think it's essentially Merge, Alan, and I versus Raj on this one. It kind of feels like.
Poor, I disagree.
Raj.
I think Raj is in pure. If we take bias and objectivity out of it and we take everything away from what's going on, his premise is 100% correct. I completely agree with Raj.
I agree. In practicality, I don't.
Yes. That's my thing.
Fine. And, you go to war.
Let's get into this.
And this is why I love Raj so much.
We've been talking already about of course, Darvin Ham and the garbage coaching that he has done, how he's lost the locker room. How apparently Shaquille O'Neal thinks that LeBron and Anthony Davis don't respect him, Darvin Ham, because of his lack of experience, which that one's funny since they did go to a Western Conference final last year.
Shaq also said that he thinks Nurkic is soft because he made up that Nurkic wants to press charges. Like, respectfully, I do not care what Shaquille O'Neal has to say anymore. Like, you know.
And we've talked some small amount of trade. We might get into that. This might essentially just kind of be a rehash of the last time we podcasted, which was 2 weeks ago. We had thought about podcasting last week, and then all of us, except maybe Raj was busy, I think, but Merge, Alan, and I were just pissed. So the Lakers are 19-20. Later tonight, they play the Utah Jazz, who have won 8 of 9. The Lakers are 4-12 in their last 16 or something like that.
5-11.
Terrible record. Yeah.
It's been completely abysmal. They had 2 wins, one against the Clippers, one against Fudge.
The wins were funny because we beat the Thunder and the Clippers.
I know.
And that's been.
And then
would have beaten the Wolves too, or could have beaten the Wolves.
And then
beat the Wolves.
And then they just got their brakes beaten off of them by the Suns because
who are a bad basketball team.
The Lakers have no idea how to defend the 3-point line.
They're not defending.
They're not. I mean, reporters are asking. Darvin about that. Like, are you just willingly giving them these open?
And then Darvin, and not just that. Shout out to Daniel Starkin, by the way, who is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and he's a good reporter, really good journalist for Lakers Nation and Dodgers Blue. He asked Darvin that question, and Darvin got annoyed with him. Like, Daniel wouldn't be asking that question. Unless it was a legit thing over the season, so I just want to point that out.
And straight up said that they left Exum open on purpose for that Dallas game. He's lying. He's a lie.
And then we had the quote that has left me emotionally scarred for the last 10 years of
we I'll need a man having PTSD in the locker room.
Yeah, we need a man up. Darvin Ham has gone full Byron Scott. Byron Scott was always a terrible hire, pure and simple. That was always a god awful hire. But with Darvin, you know, we had hope. He is a player's coach who has now lost the locker room, and I'm, especially after the man up quote, I'm done. I am absolutely done with Darvin Ham. I don't know. They would have to just go on an absolute tear for me to have any support for him. And it just, things would have to change, and I just don't see it happening. But
going to tear like they did 7 months ago, like that they like they just did recently.
There was more like.
Are we starting here? Are we starting with Darvin Ham?
Probably more like 9 months ago, but I mean,
okay,
whatever. Because six months ago is technically was like June or July. So and it's January now, Raj.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, you're right. It hasn't been a full calendar year.
What have you done for me lately?
That's fine.
It is a league of what have you done for me lately? And what Ham has done for the Lakers has completely and utterly regressed in every facet of basketball head coaching. It looks like Pockets doesn't know what to do on the sideline. You got Chris Gents, who's more animated than Pockets. You have players going to Gents and Phil Handy instead of Darvin Ham, who just continues to pace up and down and give smiles and chuckle and not do
Just very quickly, before this turns into like just disparaging every feature of Darvin Ham's like personality, the most damning thing for me is Darvin Ham is coaching like a man whose seat isn't even a little bit warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing right now.
My question is it's warm obviously from fans. Is it warm at all from Jeannie and Rob?
If we're to believe what the reporting has been recently,
Chris Haynes and others.
Literally, yeah. Chris Haynes, point
and
blank
Sam
said.
Amick has been great.
And Sam Amick too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Sam Amick too. My apologies, I forgot. But Chris Haynes came out, Bleacher Report. Chris Haynes is a very, very respected journalist.
Sometimes
he came out point blank ish, but you know, I'm trying to be nice to him. We might need guests at some point. Guys.
With clutch,
we might need guests at some point.
Yeah.
Chris Haynes came out and said point blank that Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss have given Darvin Ham their full support, their full backing.
100%, 100%, and I've seen that report too. This is kind of how I see it. Obviously, like Darvin Ham's not getting fired tomorrow. They can lose in Utah. But I also think the Lakers aren't dumb as well, right? Your coaches, kind of how warm their seat is kind of a ratio in terms of what the expectations were, right, going into the season. Like how much were you supposed to win? This team was at least supposed to win at some respectable amount. So if they fall all the way out of the like play-in scenario where they. Like they're like 5 or 6 game deck. Yeah, I think his seat will start to get warm. Well, is it like hot right now? No, for sure. What do you mean? What do you mean it's not too late?
What was your so I'm gonna ask you, Raj, because you know, I think you're honestly, like I've said it a million times. I think when it comes to like talking basketball, I think you're like top 5 on Twitter. Genuinely, like 100%. What were your expectations for the Lakers at the start of the season with this roster?
It was a top 4 seed, 100%, and that has
a minimum and to be title contenders, right? I remember us talking about it.
100%, 100% to be title contenders and to be a top 4 seed. Now, I think there's things that have happened this season that kind of impact that. Like I just can't throw it all on Darvin Ham, and like the problem to me when people say fire Darvin Ham, because I think the rest of you are kind of on this boat while I'm like watching it, you know, sail into sea, is that like the solution?
It's like, currently going down. It's like halfway. It's like sticking up like this.
It's like, the Titanic right before it fucking broke, Raj. Like
sure. But like, so you have
did
to
you know
at least,
that
like,
Titanic broke, by the way. I want to know.
I've heard of it. Yes, I've heard of the Titanic.
Okay. He's not, essentially not, the band on the Titanic right now. That's what he is.
I'm not.
he's Captain Smith going down with a boat.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why be miserable on your death? You know what I mean? Might as well have a good time.
You are if you've seen the Mario Brothers movie, you are the little star. Hanging in the thing, and usually I say that's usually more my personality. Except when it comes to Lakers, I am usually just obviously pissed off most of the time. It is hysterical how often this team makes me angry. But yes, you are like what you know, just happy. There's no such thing as happiness. Only our timely death, and it's our sweet relief, and that's the vibes I'm getting from you, Rush.
So two things real quick, because this is a very quick solution I see online. I get in DM. Why isn't Darvin fired? Who the hell is coming in to fill him? You want the guy doing games on ESPN right now? You want Doc Rivers? Like that's who you want to go get? Do you want to just uplift frankly, Phil Handy, who has never coached an NBA game. Like, I don't understand the solution to that. And I still think, like, the context and the analysis of his team has really gotten lost in the man up quotes, in the Laker fans shouldn't care game to game, in the, you know, Dante Exum.
That Lakers fans quote.
Yeah, that was terrible. I'll give you all that. But, like,
that was
dumb. The analysis that should be fucking don't mean to curse, but the analysis that should be happening is that 14-9, the Lakers were after the IST tournament. And then go look at the games after that, right? LeBron, AD, the whole team took their foot off the gas pedal. They decided that we did our job. We won the 500K for Jalen Huccifino. We won 250 for Maxwell Lewis. Christian Wood was able to go buy his mom a house with that money, even though Christian Wood has made like $50 million in his career already. But whatever, like, he was able to go, purchase things with this IST money. But
500K to do that.
So the game following the IST was on the road in Dallas, Mavs without Kyrie Irving, right? We lose that game with the Dante Exum. We have the San Antonio Spurs split, right? We go on the road to San Antonio. We let them break their 18-game losing streak. We go home to play a Charlotte team that we barely win. We lose to Memphis without John Morant. We get blown out the water. This is the first Memphis game we lost. Then we lose to Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. These are all games where, like, we collectively, as a team, took our foot off the gas pedal. Now, who do I blame for that? I'm not sure. Is some of that on Darvin Ham? For sure. Like, I think that's a coach's job to kind of be the leader of men, but I also think that's on your fucking superstars that are making $50 million a year. That's part of them as well. And I think the crux of the issue for this Lakers team is no one wants to say this part out loud, but, like, we have a 39-year-old superstar that, like, plays one side of the floor for majority of his minutes. And if you play a guy 38, 39 minutes a game that's playing one side of the floor next to an Austin Reeves who's getting targeted, D'Angelo Russell who's getting targeted, Torian Prince who's at, like, average defender at best, like, you're going to have problems. And we run an offense that's very rudimentary, right? Like, we run an offense that needs a predatory number one option running the offense every single play. And that's just not what LeBron wants to do right now. All these, like, issues that they are not fixed by changing the coach. I'm sorry. Like, they're just not. These are basketball issues, basketball problems that aren't solved by, like, firing a head coach. I think Darvin has political issues that he has to political in terms of, like, players and teams and players that were promised minutes. I 100% believe Cam Reddish and Torian were promised minutes. I 100% believe Christian Wood was promised minutes.
I don't know how Cam Reddish was promised minutes. When there was no market for him and he signed for the minimum.
Just stay with me. The reason that Cam Reddish was promised minutes is because when you have minimum guys, right? So minimum salary, that means minimum offers are probably on the table for 4 to 5 teams. Like, that's what that means. And so, like, Christian Wood had minimum offers for 4 to 5 teams. I know this because his agent was blabbering that all over summer league, but that's not the point. Like, Christian Wood had minimum offers all over the league. And
also,
like,
the agent say that.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, also he has a never mind. But, like, Christian Wood was offering, and, like, the way that you get minimum guys is that you offer something that, you know, that extends past the minimum. So it's like, okay, you're going to have a rotation shot. I think Cam Reddish was told that. I think Christian Wood was told that. And Cam Reddish has honestly played a shot. And he was playing well up until, and I think Cam Reddish is a product of his environment. Like, I think if you have a serious team and a serious, like, goal as a roster, like, I think Cam Reddish can fit and slide into that. I think the team has lost their way, and we are, like, D'Lo thinks he's getting, like, Austin has obviously gone to the bench and has been upset with his role. Like, there's a lot of stuff where I can't go and, like, fire the coach. Like, that's so reactionary. It's so low-hanging fruit. And, like, I'm looking at the basketball problem. This team can't freaking score. We're 23rd in offense, 29th in half-court offense with LeBron and AD playing. And to me, that's because we need a number one superstar to, like, run our actions every time. And we're not getting that. We're not getting that all night. We just aren't.
But isn't that an indictment on the coach, though?
It is.
That our offense is
say the same thing.
Like, that's my thing. I agree with everything you just said.
Yes.
Players need accountability, especially LeBron James. I think above all, LeBron James, out of all the players, needs to take the most accountability. Because I agree with you, Raj. You can't have a guy playing 37, 38, 39 minutes and then be disinterested wholly on one side of the ball. Because we see what happens. There's too many defensive lapses. There's too many defensive errors. People go off on us every single game. It doesn't matter who it is. There will be at least one person who goes off. Whether it's Dante Exum or Kevin Durant, someone will go off on the Lakers in any given game. right? And it just happened. Derek White did it in the Christmas Day game, as did Kristaps Porzingis, right? Like, those are the two guys who went off on us on that game. Just quickly, like, it popped into my head. But the offense being designed around having a superstar having the ball every single possession is an indictment on the coaching, in my opinion, anyway.
But I'm just going to push back
also,
real quick.
Also, really, really quick, I'm sorry. Tell me what team doesn't run their offense through their number one option.
That's my point with this, though, is that, like, what coach is going to come in and change what LeBron freaking James wants to do offensively? Like, that, it's just...
You also have to factor in what LeBron James's motivation is. This is one of the guys who has been like, this is one of the things we talked about forever. Like, he's a coach killer. Like, he tried to get Spoelstra fired. Tried to get Spoelstra fired because he didn't like him as a new coach he signed because he wanted Riley, right? So that happened. Now look, Spoelstra's one of the best coaches of all time. He got David Blatt fired. Frank Vogel, he very clearly gave up on, and Vogel was not offered an extension. He is doing it again. Like, it is happening. Like, he does not care. He doesn't interact. If you follow guys on Twitter, which I know you do, LeBron is not interacting with Ham. He's talking with Phil, and he's talking with Chris Jentz. Now, and to push back against, yes, Phil Handy has never coached an NBA game before as a head coach. Darvin Ham had so last year either, Raj. Like,
that's fine. I'm just saying you're in the same boat.
It was the first time.
I think what Raj is saying, it's more of a lateral move than anything.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. But then at least you have buy-in from players. And you have, at the very least, you have one of the best developmental coaches ever. I want to know at this point, yes, you can say it's lateral, whatever. At this point, what the fuck does Darvin Ham bring to the Lakers? And don't fucking say the Western Conference Finals. I'm tired of hearing it. Not from you. I'm not saying I'm no, so
specifically you, right?
So tired of just like of the reporters of Jeannie and Rob of like he doesn't bring anything to this team anymore. If you are a player's coach and you are billed as a player's coach because his X's and O's are dog shit. There's nothing that he knows how to fucking do on a court apparently. Because I had said a few weeks ago that like I would be like have my head swirled around by him because like I don't know how to run plays. At this point, if I dove into a coach's playbook, I would be able to tell guys how to run an offense or a defense better than he does. If he is a person like a player's coach and you have lost the players, you don't bring anything to the team. You are done and they are checked out on him. That is the problem. I get it. Bad teams continue to cycle through head coaches, and the Lakers have done that now so many times since Phil Jackson. It's not even even funny. The thing is, he's a negative at this point. He's an absolute negative. So even if you were to fire him and you made a quote-unquote lateral move with Phil Handy, you probably have upgraded just because now he's no longer a negative. Maybe Phil Handy is like, you know what, I need to bring in someone else because Darvin apparently is too stubborn to make changes. We saw the reporting that he was too stubborn to change starting lineups, even though he's gone through several because of injuries. He found one that he liked, thought it was going to be the one, and then he's like, no, I'm going to continue on with it. And then, of course, they won one, and it's been continued. He continues to play Torian Prince 31 minutes a game, and I am not going to hammer down on Torian Prince because it's not Torian Prince's fault other than his god-awful defense, and I'm sorry he's not a league-average defender. He is a below-average defender. He may know some team defense. His one-on-one, like, I could defend about at the same ability, and I weigh a lot more than him, and he's several inches taller than me. Like, there is nothing at this point that Darvin Ham does that brings value to the team. Point blank, I don't know anything at this point because, again, when you are billed as a head coach that is a player's coach, and that's what he is, that he said that he could make the Russell Westbrook, thing work. Didn't. They had to trade him, which is fine by me because obviously I never was in on that in the first place. That didn't work, so they changed it. Now, if you keep Darvin Ham and then you make a trade, which is most likely going to be the thing, it's going to be that the roster was scapegoated. When the biggest scapegoat is the guy with his hands in his pockets when the freaking lead is being lost. You are losing leads. You're one of the worst first quarter teams in the league, if not the worst. Like, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing. That is on the coach. When you're starting lineup in your first quarter, you are down all that compared to rest of the league. That is on the coach. That is not just on the players. Yes, LeBron James needs to play defense. Anthony Davis is doing everything that anyone could possibly do. He's continuing to play two below average players in Torian Prince and Cam Reddish and whoever he decides to cycle through, whether it be Austin, whether it be D'Lo or whatever floats his boat as the fifth starter. It really doesn't matter at this point. He saw the recipe for success last year, and Merge, has he played a single minute of that lineup that was so fucking good last year?
I think they played maybe 2 minutes. I remember watching a game where they like put in the lineup. Mike Trudell was talking about it on the broadcast, and then maybe 2 minutes later they pulled.
Yeah, Garvin was like, "Oh fuck, I gotta get this lineup out of here. It's too good. It's too fucking good."
I think those are all fair. The only part, like, I'm not going to go to the conference finals thing because I know that's annoying for a lot of people to hear, even though it's in the same calendar year. But, you know, what I mean? But like in any case, like, I just have a hard time.
Actually, it's 2024. It's no longer a calendar year.
Well, I mean, a full calendar year, right? I don't know how those things work.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. I just have a hard time, like, believing that you lose a locker room. Go look at, listen to LeBron's quotes, like, after I think we blew out New Orleans, where like
Do you think LeBron is still on the side of Darvin?
So I'm getting there. So like, where, you know, LeBron was talking about LeBron was talking about Darvin, I believe, after the New Orleans game, or maybe it was after the championship game, where it's like, yeah, we love our coach. I think Darvin Ham got like a Gatorade fucking thing on his head after one of those. And look, like, you with LeBron, you know what it is. Like, you when you get in bed with LeBron James, it sounded weird, but like when you get in bed in the LeBron James business, you know what you're getting into. You're getting into turmoil, you're getting into drama, you're getting into all the stuff because of the expectations that come with having LeBron James. And Miami was right to hold on to Eric Spoelstra. We'll see what it is with Darvin Ham. I think the other part of this too, the basketball part, is the Lakers have so many one-way players. I think that's a very tough thing for a coach to maneuver around. We have a lot of one-way players. Austin's regressed defensively, and Vando has regressed even more offensively somehow. I really don't understand it. D'Lo has always been awful defensively. D'Lo will even tell you he doesn't play defense, which is another issue I have with him, but that's in another case. Like, I think we have a lot of one-way guys. I just, like, I get the frustration with Torian. It's just like, who are you playing? Rui's been out. Rui broke his nose, then had a concussion, then had a calf contusion. He's been out a bunch of games. Vando missed the first 30 games of the year. The team was kind of rolling when he came. Vando came back at the IST, so the team was kind of rolling during that time. D'Lo went off a cliff after the IST. Was shooting like 20%, so he got benched. Austin gets hunted, doesn't play defense like he did last year. So, like, all those stuff, like, you can point to the coach on some of that. I think some of that is also, like, situation. Guys got paid. Austin got paid, right? So, like, he got ascended in this offensive role where he doesn't do the little things. He's no longer this connective tissue player. He's more this, like, player that believes he's supposed to run a unit. A lot of stuff. It's hard for me to just blame Darvin. And, like, I think Clay, did he have buy-in in the playoffs, in your point?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay. Did he have buy-in during the IST?
If we want to get into that, getting buy-in when things flip is easy, or like when you win some bullshit fucking tournament, like, that's fantastic.
They were 2-10 to start last year. Like, what do you mean?
No,
like,
I know, but he wasn't the focus of the fucking drama, Raj. It was all on Russell Westbrook. Are we forgetting that he was here? Like, it was all the focus on him. We were talking almost like halfway through the first season with Russell Westbrook of, when are we going to fucking trade him because it's not working? That was where the attention was. He was then brought in to make it work. And then, yeah, they went 2-10 and it didn't work.
So how much grace does a coach get then is my question. How much grace do they get? How much grace does a previous season earn you? Is like, what's a fair grace period for a coach? Like, how much does a run as fluky as people may say at conference finals run?
Again, it depends on the coach. It depends on the coach. And I know that's a answer that you probably don't want. But the problem with that is he hasn't shown anything for it since then. Where has he improved since last year? We can say he was a rookie coach last year. All of his mistakes were whatever. You can say, you know, they made the run because of blah, 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 whatever. Where has he improved this year? Nowhere. There's literally not a single fucking thing that Pockets has done that has improved. There's nothing. He's going away from lineups that are working. It will be in the middle of a run and he'll sub someone in to change it. And then the whole, like, I don't really believe in momentum, but momentum will swing. Like, it happens. It's right there on the screen.
Momentum's real.
I believe in that.
I'm not a huge proponent of it. You guys can believe it. I'm not here to talk you into
it. Versus Green Bay 2014. I don't really care about the momentum right
argument. My whole point is that the lineup is working, and then all of a sudden he'll make a substitution, and it just goes to dog shit. He's actively, like, hurting the team. The lineups aren't working. The starting lineups aren't working. Substitutions aren't working. Scheme, he has no scheme, except apparently to give three-pointers up because he could claim whatever he wants. At this point, that's the only thing that it appears to be is that he's just, fuck it, let him chuck. Like he thinks it's, you know, early 2000s and it's not, you know, the Steph Curry NBA now. Like, there's not a redeemable quality about him other than he can be a fantastic human being. As a basketball coach, there's nothing. There is nothing. And yes, it is how much grace. At this point, the grace is gone. The grace is gone. And it's
that's
not
fair,
even
that's
just
the
for,
answer.
It's not even just for me. It's from the players. When the players are done with you, it's kind of hard to come back from it. It's not like he's Bill Belichick. You know, it's not like shit. It's not.
He's
like
not even Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he's not Pat Riley if we want to get into basketball for Rod. Okay. He's not Pat Riley.
He's like
yeah, right? He's not Phil Jackson. You know, he's not any of those guys.
A pop.
He's not
I just follow up real quick and I want
he's not Quinn Snyder.
Allen. Yeah, Merge Allen, like, to answer this too, because I think we've been yelling back and forth. But like so when does, I guess, player accountability come into this? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's why does Darvin Ham have to tell Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell to slide their feet defensively? Like, what? Why do they have to tell, you know, LeBron James to tag on the pick and roll every single time?
Why
like that?
Why? Coach.
No, I understand that, but like, I think there's some player accountability that has to be taken too, right? There has to be some player accountability as well. I'm sure, like, as dumb as we think Darvin Ham is, and I think a lot of people would use that word. I wouldn't use that word, but I feel like that's a word that's used a lot. I don't think they're going into film sessions and being like, oh yeah, that's the correct play there. Get beat off the dribble every time. I don't think that's the play there. I think there's players making mistakes. I think there's player accountability. I think there's coaches accountability. I think when it works best is when you have those two kind of working together and coaches haven't taken as much accountability as I've liked. And the players haven't taken as much accountability as I've liked. And then like that's the part with this that's like LeBron James after every damn game is saying we're not healthy. Like what? We're not healthy. We're missing damn Gabe Vincent. Like
LeBron, Darvin Ham has been saying that.
He hasn't been saying that recently. It's been more Darvin than
he
anything.
Said that like what, two, 3 games ago. I think LeBron was using the injury. Like my point is, like I think that was an excuse that has kind of permeated around the team that like I haven't liked their approach there. So like it's just a lot of stuff where I just don't think firing the coach does much for this team. It may give a little boost in the beginning, but like I just can't see. There's people who are like clamoring for Vogel to get back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've gone down this road so many damn
those
times.
People are idiots, number one.
We have Lamar Odom.
Can we not call
I love Lamar.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying like who's going to refer back to Phil Jackson though.
Okay.
But he's also like the lineups he said is like, yeah, and they don't practice, which is
changing your lineup and not practicing. You're not practicing.
Yeah.
Like That's something that needs
like,
to be
why
done.
Is that the case over like recently, by the way? Like the last couple of years for a lot of teams. Like why is
a
that
a lot of teams? It doesn't
happening so
sense.
Much. Because there's been like legit NBA. There's been obvious like scientific studies are saying like resting like that doesn't do anything. Like
no.
Load management does nothing.
No,
to help
it
you.
It's just bonkers. It's a bit too much player entitlement that they don't want to actually do that.
A side note to that real quick is the not playing on back-to-backs. That shit pissing me off. Like, back-to-backs were so normal. They were so normalized throughout the last 30 years. And this new generation is just.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. So, no, it's when you have generation. Rodgers
turning into an old man like in front of our eyes right now. God, man,
it's just, when you have
back in my day
saying that type of stuff. It's not just fans. You now have players that are saying the same shit of like you're changing your lineup, you're changing this, you're changing that, and you're not practicing. Sure. Like if you're not practicing, guess who calls the practices? It's the head coach. It's not LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
But most teams don't practice, though. That's a general.
This team clearly needs to then go have some practices.
For a team that's changing so much, they need to practice. I think that's that's fair.
You think Darvin Ham doesn't want practices? You think Darvin Ham does not want to practice?
I'm not saying Darvin is saying, all right, we're not practicing, but I mean, you're the coach. You need to go to if Jeannie and Rob are still on your side, he should be able to force a practice. I'm sorry, like.
I'm sure Darvin wants to practice. Just like this, how the league is. You have a 39-year-old LeBron James who probably is like, I'm coming to shoot around. I'm coming to a film session.
LeBron's fine. That's LeBron can be put into anything. It's LeBron James. He's probably the smartest basketball player ever. That's fine. But other guys who learn their role, like there needs to be something. Like
at the very minimum, you can do walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're doing that.
You don't have to have like full like training camp. Like
I'm not expecting him to go in there and run like 100 suicides. Like that's not what I'm talking about.
From
like
a coaching standpoint.
Yes.
Thank you. So, really, really good question. Raj put up like four or five minutes ago. That's been running through my head. Is like the accountability of players and too many one-way players and. Austin Reaves wasn't this bad defensively ever. No. Right? I think we'll agree. Ever. Jared Vanderbilt, people were calling him a poor man's Lamar Odom last season when he got traded to the Lakers because he could dribble the ball a little bit and he could pass a little bit and he could finish somewhat around the rim. It's not like this complete zero that he is now. D'Angelo Russell at the start of the year, for all of D'Angelo Russell's faults that he's had over the past month and a half, and there are a multitude of them, was trying to play defense at the start of the year. And we all mentioned that. He was. Yep. He wasn't great, but he was trying.
He was trying to be in the path and blah, blah, blah.
Thank you, D'Lo, for trying. No, thank you, bro.
What I'm saying is,
thank better than what he was doing before, though. It was better than what he was doing before.
$18 million a year.
Thank you for trying. Appreciate it.
What I'm saying is, it's a prerequisite. I agree with you. But these are all signs that these players have lost confidence. And whether rightly or wrongly, and I agree with you, they paid a lot of money to play basketball, but they're also human beings. And when my worst season in coaching was when the players lost confidence in me and they stopped listening to me. And the same thing happened. Players who were decent defensively stopped playing.
Calling him Pockets Allen.
No, oh, I shouted at him still. I was shouting my head off. But people only talk about successes, which I think is absolute bullshit. Like, not enough people talk about when they failed. And when I failed, it's because I lost the players. Simple as, right? Like, it happens. It's a part of life. It's a part of coaching. But they lost confidence in what they previously could do, but because it wasn't a strength of theirs, right? They basically went to the well of what they're good at. And the same thing's happened to this Laker team. They've gone to the well of what they're good at and regressed at the parts that they improved on. Like, Austin Reaves wasn't the best defender in the world, but he wasn't a turnstile like he is at the moment. I think that's a confidence thing. I think looking at this team and looking at so many other sporting teams, especially with Manchester United, where I've seen players go from being arguably the best player in their position in the world last season in Marcus Rashford to scoring two goals this season because of coaching, because of just stuff that's happening around Manchester United. It happens really, really often with players where they regress. And it is due to the coaching. And it's not because the coach is bad. It's just that they stop listening. And I think they've stopped listening to Darvin. And that's my two cents. And I think I agree with the premise of it's probably a lateral move to bring Phil Handy in. I don't think it will shake anything up. I don't think we'll become drastically any different. I think it'll primarily be a lot of the same. But I also agree with Clay where I think, if nothing else, the players will have buy-in to what Phil Handy is saying, which I don't think they do have for Darvin Ham right now. And that's where I am with it right now, is if that flips, let's say in the next five games we go 5-0, I will come back next week or in 2 weeks after five games, and I'll go, I was horribly wrong.
Same.
Darvin Ham has turned it around, all power to him. But I don't see him doing that. And yep. That's why I think they should start looking at alternatives.
And I think that's the best way to, what I want to say, I think that's the best way to articulate how, like, that's how all three of us feel on that. I think that, yep. That's probably the best way to sort of articulate.
Look, I think that's
all emotion out of it. Like,
yeah.
No, for sure. And I think that's 100% fair. Look, is there some, like, when you're winning covers all, right? And I think it's easy to do things. It's easy to buy in. It's easy to have players do things out of their comfort zone when you're winning, right? And when you start losing is when players dissolve back into their bad habits. They go into their comfort zones, right? D'Angelo Russell went to his comfort zone. Look at the Lakers. Anytime we go down 15, D'Lo starts taking these tough mid-range pull-ups, right? And that's because that's just what his comfort zone is. Whenever he's challenged, he goes into what he kind of curls back into what he does. When Bruce Brown went attacked him, what did D'Lo do? He curled up, started taking tough jump shots, and then was eventually kind of played off the floor. Cam Reddish was fantastic, taking 1 to 2 shots a game, solely focused on defense when the Lakers were winning. When we started losing, what does Cam Reddish turn into? Turns into a player that starts chucking. He starts driving to the rim recklessly. He starts losing kind of what he was. I think this goes down the lane. I just want to go through those players specifically, mm-hmm. Alan, the three guys you mm-hmm. mentioned. Austin Reeves. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I'm not sure. I would say with Austin, it's that he was kind of pushed into this higher role, and that's kind of hurt his defensive effort, right? So he's kind of been propped up as an offensive kind of player, and he's really regressed as a defensive player. He hasn't been locked in. He's not taking – when was the last charge Austin Reeves took? When's the last time you saw Austin Reeves take a charge?
I think charges are confidence things, though. Like, coaching basketball, the only time people take charges is when they're full of confidence. Like, I've never seen a player the breath of confidence stand in front of another player and take a charge. Ever. In the history of basketball.
Isn't that an indictment a little bit on the player too? Like, why is, like, somewhat. Where did that come?
Well, is it easy? But my thing is like, if it's one player, fair enough. If it's two players, okay, maybe it's two bad eggs. There's like when seven players who have regressed.
It's also just like, it's the thing that Darvin Ham was a champion for, and why he was brought in is because he's supposed to keep these guys' confidence up and keep these guys into the game and focus on this stuff. And yeah, like Alan said, if it was just Austin or if it was just D'Lo, then sure, then they just don't play as much. But it's not. And a lot of these guys, and again, it was a thing that he was good at last year with Lonnie Walker, with like even like Malik Beasley, even though he wasn't great for Lakers.
He's good at it this year with Dorian Prince and Cam Reddish, though. He is good at it, but he's doing it with the absolute wrong people.
Yes.
That's my thing as well. Also, like, that's a bad look on him. When he's giving more rope to a guy like Torian Prince, and I'm not going to – this is not a dogging on Torian Prince. I've said what I think about Torian Prince.
Like a swear jar. We'll mention Torian Prince, like, donate, like, $2 to charity or something.
I feel really sorry for Torian because he's not a bad human. He's just playing what his role is in the team. But it's a complete wrong role, right? But he gets so much rope to do whatever the hell Torian wants to do, right?
Sure.
Rui makes a couple of mistakes, which I'm not saying that Rui's been great this season. He hasn't been. And we can all acknowledge that. And I think injuries and playing one game and missing three and, you know, all that hasn't helped his rhythm, which it absolutely has not. Okay. But he gets a lot more rope than these guys do. And I personally, unless like Torian is, I actually can't think of, like, because you watch the tape, I've watched the tape. It's not like Torian, when you watch it again, goes, well, you know, look at that fantastic defensive effort he's got there. He doesn't have that on tape. He should not be playing 31 minutes a night for any team in the NBA, let alone a team with title aspirations like the Lakers had in October, which is absolutely what they had. And I do not want any and I'm not saying you, by the way, this is you, Raj, but I'm not going to be surprised if in the next few weeks we start seeing articles coming from the Lakers saying, well, we didn't have any championship aspirations to begin the season anyway, which is absolutely asinine and bullshit. Okay, because they absolutely did. We all know they did. Okay, and I just think, 100%. Right, I think at this point, we are stemming into a world where we are about to trade Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, and D'Angelo Russell for DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella. That solves absolutely nothing. It gets rid of all our flexibility.
Or Zach LaVine.
Or Zach LaVine, yeah, absolutely. And we're trading away.
Zach will be much more cheaper than that, but yeah, to the point.
He absolutely would for a competent franchise. For our franchise, however, the price will be Austin Reeves and they will not budge on it. Do you know why? Because we set the precedent, and I hate going back to it because I still would do that trade 10 times out of 10 because they got us a title, even though we gave up too much. I would still do that trade. But we set the precedent 5 years ago when we wanted to trade the entire farm for Anthony Davis. When Magic Johnson went, we will give you literally everything that is not attached to Staples and El Segundo, you can have it for Anthony Davis.
There was a reason Dell Demps got fired, because it was like, how do you not take that trade? He literally offered more, like much more than what they ended up giving up in the offseason, which was insane. Like, it's crazy.
Sorry, I got some pent-up frustrations with the Lakers out there.
I think all that, like, really, really fair. And like, I hope they, like, I would be surprised if they put Austin in that deal. I just don't see it.
Did you think that we were going to let Alex Caruso go, Raj? I didn't. I thought, especially for $9 million a year. Are you freaking kidding me?
Less than that.
I think this part of your point too, Alan. I think they understand the view of that. Like, if you let Caruso walk, and then you just give Austin Reeves away in this type of deal, I think just the public backlash of that isn't great. So what are our two, like, let's go a little bit more to the picture that's going on right now. What are our two best wins in the last week or 2 weeks, right? It's the Clippers win.
And
the Thunder win. What happened in those games? Like, what was the main? I guess LeBron what was James. The what was the main difference?
LeBron James.
LeBron James, and, right? And I agree with you.
Yeah.
My question here is: was there an over evaluation on this team based on last year of a team that had Anthony Davis and then in the playoffs LeBron going full bore every single game? Right. Like, I think the team was evaluated in that spectrum of. We're signing guys to play with our stars that will be engaged every night.
To your point, before the podcast, they didn't have LeBron in that run when they were like a top three team in the West. So I mean, it's like, and D'Angelo was hurt for a majority of it too. It was mainly Austin and AD, like you said. So, I get your point, because obviously LeBron, when LeBron plays like LeBron on both ends, this team is still good. But he can't do that.
And LeBron can
50% of the time.
He can't do it for 38 minutes a night every night. He can't do it. He's 39 years old. It's perfectly acceptable.
And I know what LeBron said.
Alan, if he can't do it, then you're gonna be in the play-in. Like, my
thing is, though, Raj, I think in a regular season, there is enough firepower in this team offensively and defensively that you can scheme around LeBron James. And you don't have to play him 39 minutes a night. I think he's playing him out 39 minutes a night to keep scores respectable at the moment. I think that's what he's doing. And that's where I think the lack of scheme offensively, because like you said, going to a weird five-out system has just not worked for us, like, at all. Like, we don't have the personnel to play five-out, like, at all. Like, especially when your backup big is Jackson Hayes. And...
he's been awful.
I don't like to say players have been like the worst player in the NBA, but when he's played, he's been the worst player in the NBA.
No, he's been like, terrible.
Alan, as a coach, I'm really
asking this question, because I dive into the film. I watch a lot, and like, I come away. Because this is what I come away with. It's extremely hard to create productive lineups with a bunch of one-way players. I think that's a very difficult thing to do. I think it's situationally different. And the Rui thing is weird. I feel like Rui came to the season very similarly to Austin, got paid, wanted a offensive role. That's fine. I watch Cam Reddish unable to play one side of the floor. I watched D'Angelo Russell unable to play one side of the floor. I watched Austin Reeves unable to play one side of the floor. I watched Jared Vanderbilt unable to play one side of the floor. I watched Christian Wood does rebound, does block shots, but I still think defensively he's probably a minus. Like, and then LeBron James, LeBron plays one side of the floor for a majority, for a lot of his minutes. How, as a coach, how do you scheme around, like, around that? And a Torian, of course, who
you
plays
play Max Christie most, more, you play really hard tomorrow more.
Jason Kidd,
I love
it. I'm going to use Dallas as an example because Dallas, I have got a lot of one-way players in my opinion as well. Luka Doncic is a one-way player. Kyrie, their two best players are one-way players, right? They're both offensive, like purely offensive players. They might try at times defensively, but they're purely offensive players, right?
Sure.
Dallas could do it. And Jason Kidd, I think we'll both agree, Jason Kidd isn't the greatest coach in the world. I think he's fine. He's all right, right? He's not bad like people thought he was, but he's also not like, I don't know. I don't even think he's like Jamal Mosley level, right? Like, I think Jamal Mosley is a fantastic. That's just a name that popped in because I don't want to compare.
He's probably in the top half coaches. He's probably closer to 15.
Yeah, that's where I am with. So that's my thing is, like, I think there are certain things, and we could, like, I'd have to, like, literally sit down for, like, a couple of hours and watch over tape again just to say, like, this is what we could do. Because, you know, I wasn't prepared to, like, think, yeah, like, pure schematics. But sorry. I think there are things that you can do. Easy wins. Like, I would go back to Ty Lue, which pains me, because whenever that man calls a timeout, they always have a play to run. And 9 times out of 10, after a timeout or a stoppage, they score.
He's one of the best ATOs in the league, for sure.
Oh, unreal. After timeout stuff, he is, like, I think he's probably the best, right? Without a doubt. I think, as a coach, I'll actually send you one of my PDFs I had. I have a PDF with over 2,000 after timeout plays, right? I don't use them all. I've never used them all, obviously. I pick and choose which ones I like. And maybe I implement like 15, 16 of them when I coach throughout a season. But I don't even think we have that. And I need to go back and watch the tape fully before someone tries to rip into me. I need to like really dive into it because obviously I watch it like peripherally as a fan. Then I try to take things out of it as a coach. I don't like super, I don't have the time to while I'm teaching. But I think schematically there are things that we can do to negate that whole thing. I think one big thing is put people in positions to succeed. Don't have Torian Prince, and I didn't want to mention him, but don't have Torian Prince play one-on-one.
That's like, $2.
You know, it is what it is. I owe you all a venti latte, but not from Starbucks for obvious reasons. Hashtag boycott. I think there are things you can do. I'm not saying that we'd be like the best team in the world doing that stuff, but I think we'd be a lot better than 19 and 20. If we're like you said, top four seed, if we're fifth right now, and I think we probably should be around fifth or sixth right now.
Absolutely.
If we're fifth right now, I think fans on the whole are very happy with that. So, and that's adding what, 5 or 6 games where we win?
Yeah.
And my thing is, you can do that.
And there's games that when watching, you can very much tell that they should have won games. There's at least 3 off the top of my head that very easily should have won. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, not even past, because this Christmas period always gets to me. It's only the 12th of January, for God's sake. We played the Celtics literally like 2.5 weeks ago. We should have beat the Celtics. So my thing is, again, going back to schemes, is we are in 2024 NBA right now, right? Where three point is king. People live by the 3-point shot, they die by the 3-point shot. Old heads might say that's wrong. The analytics say it's correct. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. We leave teams wide open from the NBA, from the 3-point line. And yeah, Dante Exum went off on us, and he's not a very good three-point shooter. But we're leaving wide-open shots for good three-point shooters. Like, against the Celtics, the majority of their shots were wide open. Like, that's where I'm coming from. Like, defensively, it seems like it's a directive that we leave three-point shooters open or just allow three-point shots to happen, which I think is really weird. Because you watch the tape as much as anyone. Like, if you concede a lot of really good three-point looks, you will lose games.
I think we run a very passive defense, and it contradicts to what this team does well. And this is the part that I have a tough time kind of garnering and information on, because again, when you lose, drama kind of rises to the top. But like, that's, Alan, this is not what we were doing earlier in the year. We were a very aggressive defense. We were trapping. And that has got progressively more passive as the season has gone on. And I just refuse to believe Darvin saw something that worked and was like purposefully went away from it. I feel like this was a collaboration with our team, our stars, our whatever, as like a way to preserve. And I think the concept of preserving has gotten us here. I don't know if you agree with that, but like, just preserving LeBron, preserving AD, you know what I mean? Like, just this passive and this defensive stance of, you hear this a lot. We just want to be healthy going into the playoffs, right? Like, you hear that stance a lot. And
stupidity, in my opinion. You have to get to the playoffs.
Right. And the Clippers used to run this way, right? The Clippers used to be in this, we just want to get to the playoffs. And I think it creates this really passive, aggressive, like, just mentality as a team. And, like, I think that was a collaborative decision that, like, frustrates all of us as fans. But, like, I don't know how, like, Phil Handy, who's right next to Darvin every single game, like, just him propped up as the coach changes. You know what I mean? Like, just changing that.
I get you, but it's that thing of, like, Darvin right now should be saying, if that was a collaborative process, which I probably believe is the case, to be honest with you, Raj, because, like you said, it was too extreme a change from where we went at the ISC final to now. So there must have been some type of collaboration, whether that's with the players or whether it's with the front office, right? I don't know who it's with. I'm more leaning that it's a bit of both, right? He probably talked to whoever he talks to in the front office, which it seems to be that it's Rob Pelinka, and he probably talked to, I don't know, LeBron, hypothetically, because we don't know this right now. As the head coach right now, you need to say to both Pelinka and to LeBron, look, we tried this. We're getting our ass kicked right now. We need some momentum. So that means, LeBron, for the next 5-6 games, I need you to try. If that means you can only play 30 to 32 minutes a night with you fully engaged, so be it. But I need to play this way. And I know it's hard saying it to LeBron James, but the alternative is we slip out completely out of the play-in and playoff discussion. I think that's what's going to happen by February if we continue like this.
And what I think will happen, Alan, is every third game we'll get a LeBron monster, and we'll just keep in this cycle. You know what I mean? And it's like, as a person who tries to analyze the game, it's difficult. How do I analyze when LeBron's engaged and not? How can I cipher through that and decide what this team is when like we win every game that LeBron decides I'm going? Like, let's be honest. Like, LeBron had 13 points. Well, who did we just play? I'm freaking blanking. The Suns, right? LeBron had 10 points. AD had 13 points. Let's be freaking real. There is no game in the world where, though, if those two give a shit, those two combine for 23 points, right? There's no game in the world. We can be playing on the moon. LeBron and AD would not combine for 23 points. And then they get shitted on because of that game, obviously, of their effort, of their, like, and then Darvin Ham obviously has to answer questions in post game. And Alan, you brought up how he was frustrated at the 3-point question. He's like, yeah, I'm not telling them to not give a shit defensively. But like, if LeBron and AD go out there and shoot 20 times combined, like, what do you do with that? I don't know how to analyze that.
I get you completely. And it's one of those things where I think Thursday was the first real sign that we've seen AD checked out in a game. Because even the games where he played badly, like Denver in the first game of this, I'll go back all the way to Denver.
Worst game of the season, maybe.
Worst game of the season by a country mile, that second half. I don't think he was checked out defensively. He was still trying defensively. Jokic was making some ridiculous shots. Mm-hmm. but you were there. I think AD's completely checked out on Thursday, though. Like, completely checked out. And that's worrying for me, because Anthony Davis has been otherworldly the whole season, and we were 500 up until Thursday. Obviously, we went below 500 with that loss. And he's been otherworldly. So if we're going to get the AD effort that we got on Thursday on a consistent basis now, and that's where I'm at. And if and while I agree with you that it's probably a lateral move to bring in Handy for the rest of the season, I'm going to bring it back to the NFL. Josh McDaniels being fired to put in Antonio Pierce, which are two names I know, Raj, that you're not familiar with, was probably seen as a lateral.
You could have made both of those up, and I would completely go along with it.
But Clay and Merge can corroborate that they are two very real people. Josh McDaniels was his famed person from the Bill Belichick tree. He had one job in Denver where he absolutely destroyed the Denver Broncos. And then he went back to New England as an offensive coordinator, and he was really, really good again, because I think that's his limit, is being a really good offensive coordinator. And then he got the job in Las Vegas with the Raiders. And it got really, really toxic to the point where players went to ownership. Well, not even players went to ownership.
Ownership went to
Josh
players.
McDaniels.
Owners.
Josh McDaniels asked them to do a players-only meeting. Mm-hmm. The players decided that they weren't on board with Josh McDaniels anymore. So then ownership heard about this and asked the players, so you've had this players-only meeting. What is your opinion on Josh McDaniels? And the three main players, the three like stalwarts of the I'm about to call them the Oakland Raiders there, but the Las Vegas Raiders, essentially said, we don't believe in Josh McDaniels anymore. And the Raiders fired him. And they brought in a guy called Antonio Pierce, who played in the NFL. But Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, essentially asked him, I'm not expecting you to like coach the hell out of this team. I'm expecting you to lead this team. Right, I need them to be someone. I need you to be someone that they can get behind, because they're obviously not behind this owner, this coaching group right now. This coach, the main head coach, to galvanize the team. Yeah. Right, and it went to the point where the first week that was sort of what Antonio Pierce did, and they won. But the rest of the season, he coached them. Okay, and I've seen the NFL; it's different because one game a week, so there are certain comparisons that you cannot make. But he ended up coaching them up, and it's got to the point now where essentially. The two main players on the Raiders on the offensive and defensive side, Devontae Adams and Max Crosby, have said that they want trades if Antonio Pierce is not hired as the head coach. So a really long-winded way to say, I completely get your premise of it is a lateral move. And I sort of thought that when the Raiders hired Antonio Pierce as well. But now we're looking at a point where realistically, if we're to believe Adam Schefter, which I tend to believe him because he's got really, really good sources. Antonio Pierce will be the full-time head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think there is no harm if you think, and again, Josh McDaniels, season and a half, did the same time frame. If anything, it costs Mark Davis a lot more money to fire Josh McDaniels than it did Jeannie Buss to fire. He's had to eat like $50 million, Raj, because he had like another 4 years. Like that's a lot.
Mark Davis is kind of in the same boat as Jeannie Buss, where he is cash strapped. He doesn't have any like. I mean, I think he owns like the Aces. And
he owns the Aces now. Yeah,
but like he is not you know Lacob where he just has just a shit ton of money, like.
Balmer or whatever.
Yeah. Like he is cash strapped. His entire like income is based off of the Raiders. you know? And he's made a lot of money in the last few years,
by the way.
Yeah.
Because the move to Las Vegas has just absolutely galvanized their revenue streams. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a very excuse my language, it's a very ballsy move for Mark Davis to have made at that point, considering the lack of money he has, to go, you know what? I'm going to eat 4.5 years of a salary, and I'm going to make the best decision I believe in my franchise. Now, could that have backfired on him? Absolutely, it could have done. And the Raiders could have gone 4-13, right? They could have done. It might have been probably the best thing for him because they would have been second or third in the draft and they could have drafted one of Caleb Williams or Drake May. But I would argue, from a team building standpoint, when you have Max Crosby, who is a top five rusher, I'd say, in the league right now, and you have Devontae top three, I was being conservative with top five. Top three is a lot closer. But Max Crosby is really, really, really good. It's essentially like NBA comp, a Joel Embiid level player. Okay? Okay? And then you have Devontae Adams on the other side, who would be what? A James Harden in his prime type of level of player. When you have those two guys going to bat for your head coach, who was going to be your head coach, I think I personally, and this sucks because I hate people getting fired, I think it's a horrible thing to celebrate. But I think that bringing in Phil Handy, and I know Phil Handy's on the bench, but I've been an assistant coach before. No matter how much respect you have from the players, there is a limited amount that you can do as an assistant coach. There is a limited amount of input you can have an assistant coach, and it sucks, right? Because you can say whatever you want to the head coach, but at the end of the day, there is only so much that the head coach will listen to you. Because all head coaches have an ego. All head coaches believe that their way is the best way. They don't really want to listen to advice. And even when they do it sort of half-heartedly. And then as soon as they see first signs of trouble with something that's been suggested to them, they dismiss it completely. Being an assistant coach isn't fun. I think it's a completely different role. And even if it's just a three-month sample to be like, look, we can finally see what Phil Handy's like as a head coach. Because I think, personally, I think that's what's held him back. I think he's had this player development tag across his name for so long now that people will not give him a fair look as a head coach because they think that's all he can do. And to be honest with you, we have no idea what he can do. He might be the worst coach in the history of the NBA for all we know. And I'm not saying that he won't be. I'm not saying that he will be. But he could be, very, very simply. But at this point, if I was to ask you right now, really honestly, do you think that the Lakers get to the conference finals? Right now. If you change absolutely nothing at all, do you think the Lakers get to the conference finals?
Probably not. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think LeBron and AD will muster up enough to get to the playoffs.
Play-in game.
Yeah, play-in and then into the playoffs. But like, I'm not anti Phil Handy at all.
No, I get you. I'm just giving you a different perspective.
No, for sure. And I think Phil Handy deserves a legit shot. I don't think this is fair either to him, probably. Like, throw him into the fire, right? Like,
if you were to ask him, would you do it right now, even if it meant you would never, ever, ever get a head coaching role in the future? I guarantee 1,000,000% he'd say yes.
Yep.
Because I bet he's been preparing it for it for at least a month and a half.
I'm sure he would. I'm just saying, like, to me, what it would take for Darvin Ham to get fired, and fans don't want to hear this, but like, I feel like the Lakers are gonna have to be like 5 to 6 games under 500, 5 to 6 games outside the play-in race, and then he'll get fired. And then from there,
I don't think he gets fired. Period.
If 5 or 6 games is the quote unquote like requirement for him to be fired, you're already out of the playoff race.
I mean, out of the play-in. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Out of the play-in. They're already not in the play-in. They're the 11th seed at the moment.
And they're like a half a game to be the 12th seed too. If the Warriors figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're as you said on Twitter, they're both trading shots of being embarrassing. It's awful. If they're 5 or 6 games out of the play-in, they're done. There's no point in it. At that point, just write it out. Anthony Davis season, you're not doing anything. And yeah, you could say they could make that run, but like each time we go to look at the schedule, it's like holy shit.
If you make that run, you're probably gonna run out of gas
for sure. But my point with this, like, so right now we're 2 games back of 7th, so like like right now, to me, it's still the like I believe there should be urgency.
But only 4.5 out of 5, yeah, which they, is why no, those sure, games that they lost.
But
like,
if you, if they drop below like Memphis, who's 14-24, right? Like but like there's to no me, that's
that,
what
that team was done.
Yeah,
they're
good
sorry,
no bad. Like 6 weeks.
So okay, so forget good. That. Memphis is a bad example. So the Warriors are 18-20 right now. They're 2 games under .500. I think they're going to stabilize around that. Like, I think Steph is just good enough to kind of play them at like this middling kind of level. And I think LeBron is good enough to keep the Lakers. LeBron and AD are good enough to keep the Lakers at this middling level. But let's say the Lakers drop like 6 games under .500 and the Warriors stay around 500 and the rest of the West stays. I think he'll be fired, and I think that's something that you guys would like to hear. I think he will be fired. I just can't believe the Lakers are going to sit around and let a season go to waste.
My thing is if you are going to fire him, and it's yeah, just
then
that,
fire him, right?
And it's just that like it. Well, we're only 3 back. Like
that's a good point.
Should we just fucking pull the plug? If you
they can also very obviously me right now. The deadline's coming up. We can do the same thing we did last year.
That's a fair point.
Can I be conspiracy me right now?
Yeah.
I think if we lost to the Clippers, he would have been fired.
I think so too.
Embarrassingly lost, right? Like an embarrassing loss. Like if we were like blown out by the Clippers, because I'm with you there. If like the Clippers,
I think my thing is if you were going to fire him anyway. Which I think they were. I think they were prepared to fire him after that. If they lost to that, if they lost that Clipper game,
and that Clippers game saved him essentially.
And that's yep. But that goes back to bad management. Because why the hell is one game make or breaking your decision? Because that's really poor yep. planning and management.
Really bad.
That's fair.
If it's even like something that you're considering, you just do it. Like at this point, like you just do it. So then, yes.
Again, another NFL comp. Seattle finished 9-8 with a team that is retooling right now. And let's be honest, it wasn't neither a good season, but it wasn't a bad season. It was about if Seattle season could go averagely, where would they be? It'll be 9-8. Yes. And we just fired our like bona fide slam dunk first ballot Hall of Fame coach because it wasn't good enough.
Well, fired. It was.
He was fired.
Well, you know more than you know.
He was fired because he wanted to continue coaching, and he said as much in his presser. Clay, he essentially said it was taken away from me that option of coaching.
I think it was kind of the same thing with Belichick.
With Belichick,
but
my thing is, if you're going to do that, when you've had it, but at least Belichick, he had 3 bad seasons, which I think that's what. Like, I think if he was 9-8,
that's like Phil Jackson level coach right there.
Yeah,
the top level coach. Yeah.
Pete Carroll is what? Spoelstra level.
He's like a Pat Riley.
Yeah, that's probably better. That's a much better analogy because Pete Carroll, even though Belichick won more, I would argue that Pete Carroll has influenced the NFL way more than Bill Belichick has. Because if you look at the defenses that are ran, it essentially all stems from Pete Carroll 2010 to 2014.
It's true.
Going away from that, going back to it, they should just fire him if that's the plan. If they're waiting for us to go 5 or 6 games below 500, A, you're putting a handicap on the interim head coach, mm-hmm. B, you're putting a handicap on the players, and C, even if you do fire the coach, I think they'll make a trade on top of that as well because we'll be too far back and they'll feel like we need to do something.
No, I think that was where I was going to go. If you're going to fire, just do it. Just not just to appease fans, whatever. Like, if the guys in the locker room are done, they're done. Like, I get, like, player accountability. At some point, like, we just have to acknowledge, like, players don't give a shit what we have to say about their accountability. Like, especially LeBron James. He does not give a shit about what anyone has to say about him and his accountability. And if he's done with the coach, he's done. So just pull the plug, whatever. Okay, then you have, what is it, February 8th or whatever to the trade deadline? We got like 3-4 weeks.
It is indeed, because I got that right, and I still remember it.
February 8th. Okay, then that gives you a little over a month. Okay, you can see if your team has buy-in. You can see if Austin improves, if D'Lo improves, if the rotation is tweaked a little bit, you know. And then if it's not, make a trade. You still have a few weeks. You have to do it, and you have to do it in a process. If you do it like both at the same time, like it's you're fucking up, man. Like you're throwing, you're already. I'm not coming at you, Raj. But the whole
I can take like, it. Don't worry. You don't have to preface any of these.
Yeah, the whole grace and the whole blah blah blah. Like at this point, this season is a failure.
Sure.
We could go back and I was quiet for a long time because I was looking at box scores and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have lost a lot of close games. They've won a mm-hmm. handful of close games. They've also gotten the brakes beaten off several times.
Absolutely.
A lot. This is a lot. This isn't just something where like, you know, it's 10 points, whatever. It's like 15, 20, 25. The Lakers lost by what, 40 to the Sixers or whatever? Like it was embarrassing. Like it's just so bad. Like it's the fluctuations of it is just ridiculous. Like something has to be done. And if you know, we've been saying like, you know, you don't want to be fired, cool. You don't want this, that, or the other, then you got to do something. You cannot continue to be stubborn. And I think his attempt to change was right after the in-season tournament, and they then went to 5-out, and that has been an abject failure.
I think they were 5-out for the whole season, but they leaned more heavily into playing guys who would fit the 5-out.
Yeah,
the 5-out more right after the IST.
Sure. It's just you've changed your philosophy. You're as you said, you were 14-9, and you're 5-11 since then.
And to your point, Raj, yeah, it probably was a team wide like discussion and change, but I would argue that Darvin Ham is at the very least a figurehead of that. And yeah, LeBron had a discussion, and probably AD was probably part of the discussion, and I'm sure Rob Pelinka was part of the discussion or whatever. But I think at the end of the day, when it comes to the scheme that's being ran, it falls squarely on the head of the coach.
Sure, I'm not debating that. I just like when I watch the team play. Like, and honestly, like they've gone away from 5-out in the last few games. Like they've been way more AD post up reliant and AD post up heavy and kind of having him inside more. And that's kind of been fruitful for AD's game in terms of the numbers he's put up has kind of helped us. But I don't know. I have a hard time going at this where like I get your point, Clay. Like if he's lost a locker room, I totally understand that. I don't think they want to fire him, which is why like I think they would have to their hand would have to be forced, right? Like, I don't think Rob, Genie, and the whole brass want to fire Darvin Ham. I don't think that's – like, I don't think it's like Frank Vogel or Luke Walton where they were like, just give us a reason. Give us a reason so we can do it. You know what I mean? Like, Frank Vogel, they obviously waited to the end. Luke Walton also waited to the end. But they just wanted a reason to fire – I don't think they want a reason to fire Darvin Ham. I think they legitimately believe in him as a coach and would just have to be forced.
I don't know how much I think it's them believing and them just not wanting to make the hard
decision. I think the believing, I think it's what's the word I'm looking for? I think it's blind. They're blindly believing in Darvin. They also want to save face at the same
time. They're giving him the grace of he made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. I get it. It's a good argument, but at some point, because this is, it was 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this as well, right? And you were saying when is Grace gone? It's been 2 weeks, and they won two tough games, and then they still haven't looked good.
Two and three. They were 2-3 in a homestead, which was supposed to be like a all right, let's get home and let's fix ourselves kind of homestead and.
I always push back on that.
They won two games. Clippers objectively was a good win. Like objectively, that was a good win for the Lakers.
It was also only a 3-point win.
Yes, but the Clippers were a team that had literally only lost one. They were lost like 11.
Clippers might be the best team in the league. Like that's how good they
are. For sure. I'm just meaning like it was a close game that just a couple other things could have turned into a 6-point loss as well.
That's fair, but when it's against an elite team, I don't really care.
I'm not trying to take it away. I'm just saying like that game shouldn't be holding you back from firing him. Like, that's just my thing.
Oh no, like, no. I was just saying they a good win against the Clippers, and then they like squeaked out a win against like the Hornets, right? Was that the other one?
Yeah.
I think the Clipper game
without LaMelo, you know,
Clay. I think the reason the Clipper game is kind of why it was like penciled in is like there's games that they'll know, like if LeBron is engaged or not. Like LeBron was obviously going to be engaged against Kawhi and Paul George. I think part of that too is like he just has no choice. Like if you're not engaged against Paul George and Kawhi, he'll embarrass you. It's why I was kind of surprised in the Suns game where like he just kind of turned it off and didn't even guard Kevin Durant at all in those. That's why it's so hard to analyze.
Like, wasn't like Kawhi like didn't you like have like a big old goose egg against LeBron when LeBron defended him in that game? Like he was bad against LeBron.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, LeBron was engaged.
Their other win was against a bad
Raptors that didn't have LaMelo, who is getting LaMelo back.
Well, but I'm saying like it was also a bad Raptors team that they.
Oh, the Raptors won. Right.
Yeah, because the game against the Hornets was the 28th, and they beat them by 19. So
the Raptors,
if they beat the Timberwolves, where I believe they were up, and then they ended up losing,
should have at least had an opportunity to go into overtime for that one. I still thought on that.
Yeah, they lost to the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat.
Like, and then they go after the game. And I think that was when Darvin was complaining about injuries. That was a game that's like, what are we doing, dude? They didn't have Jimmy Butler. And like Tyler Hero, too, I think was hurt as well.
Caleb Martin as well.
Caleb Martin.
They got the brakes beat off of them by the Grizzlies. Like, yeah, I just.
Jawless.
Jaw was there. Jaw was there.
He was? I thought he was. Did he get hurt that game?
He got hurt like the next game.
He got hurt the game after.
I mean, losing to the Bulls back in December as well. Like, there's just so.
Losing to the Mavericks in that game without Kyrie.
So many little things of just like a good coach, good coaching gets you like in the conversation with some of that stuff. You know, maybe some of the blowouts aren't so bad. Maybe, you know, you flip a couple of those close games. Like, I guess also my other thing is, and then I think we need a transition because, like, it's just going in circles. When the Lakers go up against another team, how often do you think they have a coaching advantage?
Every game.
No, against them. The Lakers have the advantage.
The Lakers have the advantage.
Oh, I thought you were saying that the other team has a coaching advantage. Then the opposite. Then never.
Yeah.
I have to go look through all the coaches.
Let me
Hornets.
The Hornets. Yeah, they have an advantage against the Hornets. You know, like it that's about it. Maybe the Bulls who
Raptors like would Pistons. You what about the Darko? Like
Darko? Like it's just not very often that they have that. And like that's just another nail in the coffin for me. Like you gotta have
also find it something. The Toronto Raptors out of all the European head coaches hired Darko Rajakovic, who, you know, for better or for worse, we can say, oh yeah, you know, he works his way up NBA organizations. But also, you know, he didn't get a job in Europe, which is usually an indictment of a coach in Europe. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Anyways, let's yeah. Anyways, really quick. I know Merge, you got to go here in a minute.
I just have like this one thing. Like we've talked about what we would do, what we're seeing on it. Like what do we all objectively see? What do we think is going to happen? Not what we would do. Raj, what do you think is like what will happen in terms of in terms of trades? Like what is going to happen? Like what is going to be the thing that do they do both? Do they do neither? Do they do one of them?
I don't think Ham will be fired. I think this team will win at enough of a pace to keep him on the team. Like I think Lakers are going to middle around 500. They're going to stay at this 7, 8, 9 spot and just continue to meddle into the play-in probably if they can't make a run. I do think a trade is coming. I don't think Austin Reaves is getting moved, but I could see DeJounte Murray. I could see them going for Zach LaVine. I think all those are on the table. I feel like D'Lo has been told he's going to get traded. Like, that's the body language I see from him. I'm pretty confident he's gone. Rui, I think, is also probably gone in this deal. But that's most likely, and that's what I think is most likely going to happen. Lakers are going to make a move for one of these guards. They'll go get a center out of the buyout market to replace Jackson Hayes.
Bismack Biyombo.
I think Biyombo.
Biyombo now.
They should go get Biyombo now. Reed Gordon Hayward, it looks like, is going to get bought out. That'd be a nice guy to kind of also.
They have an open roster spot. Like, they could easily just sign one of those.
Hayward's going to go back to the Celtic, though, isn't he? Like, let's be honest.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not sure. I feel like it ended strangely there.
Indiana,
like,
maybe. Kind of,
he went and got paid somewhere else. But anyway, like, I think like those are as well. Yeah, Hayward. I think that's the route that they go. And is that like life changing for this team? Probably not. But like, I think this team needs a spark. They need some new energy to be brought in. Something has been lost, and you guys believe it's the locker room. Some just spark and energy and that like newness and that of last year has just fizzled out so quickly. And like, they look like they're tired of each other. They look like they don't believe in each other as they were last year. So I think this team needs a spark, and it can't just be like a small move. It can't just be a buyout guy. They have to make some type of trade. But I don't think Austin's in that deal, which means I think the first rounder, D'Lo, Rui, are all fair game to move out. But that's what I think what happens. I don't think Darvin Ham's going to get fired. So I don't think we're going to lose at a pace to have him fired this season, at least.
I think he doesn't get fired either. I think they do make a trade. I'm not as confident in the trade, in Austin not being part of the deal. Honestly, everything I've heard about the DeJounte Murray trade is that they want Austin. I know that everything else that's been heard is the Lakers don't want to give up Austin. So if they want DeJounte, something's going to have to give. And I don't trust the Lakers front office to not be the one who blinks first, personally.
Isn't DeJounte a free agent after this season?
No, he just signed an extension.
No, it's a four-year extension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't even kick in till
next year. So, yeah, if it's LaVine, then I don't think Austin gets traded. Just because the Bulls front office is just as bad, if not worse, than the Lakers at the moment. I know. What's the former Denver?
Kuznetsovas.
Yeah, he hasn't been great for Chicago. And ownership.
Again, another one. I'm just saying, you didn't get a GM job in Europe. Came to the NBA. I'm just saying.
So I don't think they would, if the Bulls out negotiate the Lakers, then we have an issue. But I think a LaVine trade, you wouldn't have to give up Austin. It would probably just be Rui and filler in a first, mm-hmm. probably.
Me too.
I think that's more likely than DeJounte at this point. If I had to like choose, I'd probably prefer that over DeJounte just because of the assets going out. But I think there will be a trade, and I guess it really just depends on how much impact a LaVine or a Murray will have on this team that really shows if they can make that trade deadline run again. But I don't have much confidence in a similar run happening because there's a good chance Torian Prince and Cameron Meadows are still on the team in a trade like that, and they still are getting too many minutes. So we'll see. But ultimately, I don't think Darvin gets fired until the offseason, and I think the Lakers do a trade for a all-star level guard. Alan, Clayton, you guys have any differing opinions?
I'm in complete agreement with you, but I think we do the deal with Atlanta, and I think we end up trading Austin. That's where I am.
I'd be shocked. I'll put $100 in that charity bowl. Like, I'd be shocked if Austin gets traded. I'd be absolutely shocked for that move.
But like I said, something has to give because it seems like, from reports, Atlanta is very strong that they need Austin in any DeJounte trade. The Lakers are very strong and not wanting to trade Austin. And again, I just trust. And maybe
can we go even further? I think we'll trade both Austin Reeves and Max Christie.
Wow. Yeah.
Fuck.
That's I'd be shocked.
If you want me to go nuclear, that is legitimately what I think will happen.
That I'd be so shocked if that happened. Max Christie makes pennies. Austin, they just signed this last.
And realistically, Max will make pennies next season and the season after as well, because he hasn't played this season for reasons unbeknownst to me. But he hasn't played enough this season to warrant big deals from another team.
Yeah, Max is at this point, I think he's more valuable than your 29 first round pick.
Really?
I don't think teams see it that way though. I think teams would rather have.
I don't know, because like LeBron and everything will be gone. But I mean, like for LA, I think that's more valuable.
It just depends
on the protections that like.
Although both of those guys will cost an unprotected first, in my opinion. LaVine and Murray will both. You have to give up. We only have one first to trade.
No, I'm not.
We only have one first to trade.
Yeah, you're at minimum top four protecting that.
You have to get a top four protection for LaVine. Like injury history, massive contract.
I don't think Atlanta's happening because of what they gave up for DeJounte. It'll be LaVine.
I'm in the same boat.
I think if neither happen, we get DeJounte in the offseason because we will have the picks too.
My thing is,
I agree with you if we were a competent franchise. However, could you, like, let's say LaVine gets traded. I don't know. I know there's rumors right now that the Kings don't want any, but I absolutely believe if the deal's right, the Kings will trade for a guy like Zach LaVine. Let's say the Kings trade for LaVine before we can come up with a trade for him. And we are middling still, and we absolutely need to make a trade. And the DeJounte deal is the only deal that is on the table. Are you telling me they're not pulling the trigger? Because they 100% are.
In that case, it'll be Austin, it'll be Max, it'll be JHS, it'll be the 29th pick, and whatever salary filler it's going to be.
And Rui.
It'll be D'Lo, Rui, or Rui, and no, I mean D'Lo has to be in that deal.
It'll be D'Lo, Rui, Reeves, J.
Which is why you get Capella back in the trailer. That's what would happen. Is Capella back?
Oh yeah, more Bojan.
Yeah,
but yeah, no,
you could get all three. I think
Ogden.
Yeah.
Clayton, what's your opinion on it?
I think a trade will happen, and then the firing will happen in the off season, because I think Jeannie and Rob have dug their feet in, and they can't lose face.
Yeah, like to them it'll probably be at the soonest two seasons and we can fire him.
My last question, you guys, do you think there's a point that'll come where, like, how many losses would it take for them to not even make a trade? Like, does that exist for this season? Do you think, like, to where, let's say in a month's time, they're 7 games
back? I think before it gets to that point, they make a trade. They don't let it get to that point. That's what I think as well.
I think if we go 5 games below 500, 6 games below 500, we're pulling a trigger on the trade.
I'll knock on wood, but like the LeBron and AD injury is coming, man. It just is.
No, I know. They're a game under 500, and they could legitimately lose the next three, maybe four. The Jazz, Thunder, Mavs, and the Nets are kind of floundering. But I mean, watch McHale go off and others go off, and then they play the Blazers. But then when they play the Blazers, it's the 21st already, and.
But like,
I mean, at that point, like,
but Clay, like, even forgetting like the schedule, like Allen, Clay, what happens if AD has to miss 2 weeks? Like, what?
Oh, what? If LeBron or AD miss any,
no, I think of AD specifically. I think you can.
Yeah, that's why I pointed out AD that if AD's out for two weeks,
oh god, you're so fucked. Because like Jackson Hayes was playing good up until the in-season tournament. Then after that, because like he was up and down, but then he's been so bad since then.
Wood's been good recently.
He's had like a couple good games. There, like, you have to get Biyombo. The fact that like
he's not signed yet is ridiculous. He already cleared, an indictment.
He already cleared waivers. It's Ginny being penny pinching. And this is exactly why I did not want to use the MLE or the BI or the biannual. Like, this is exactly why, because you've hard capped yourself. You've royally fucked yourself. Because even if you like can make trades and blah blah blah, like it's hard to accept money, and then you could end up having like two or three open roster spots just because you can't even fill them because of money.
Yeah.
Like, this is you wasted the MLE because you were tired of Malik and Mo Bamba, which, I mean, like, Malik is playing great, and then Mo Bamba, I don't even know if he's in the league. Yeah, he plays Mo Bamba. But he's on the Sixers. But I mean, like, you have a guy who plays too much, and you have a guy that's played five games and he's been out the entire year. So, like, other than that. So, like, I don't such poor management. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm done.
It's done. No silver lining today, folks. Sorry.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Although
if they win, like Alan said, if they win the next three, the next four, then sure.
Oh God, so yeah.
These are some really tough games.
It all depends. First of all,
tell me though. No, I hear that line and blah blah blah. What is the likelihood that they are beating the Jazz, the Mavs, and the Thunder? You just beat the Thunder, yes, just a little while ago. How many games ago did you even do that? That was a while ago.
It was like 2 weeks ago, I think.
It was like seven or eight games ago.
Why am I not
feels seeing like it?
Why am I not seeing it on my
like that stretch? Like, you beat the Thunder and you pretty like you it had was
December 23rd.
The best team.
You beat them by nine. You're not doing that to the Thunder again.
No. Like that little stretch where they beat the Thunder, and I know they lost to the Celtics, but there's like a good stretch of game in that, and then essentially had the best team in the West on the ropes.
Thunder are 8-2 in their last 10. And Torian Prince is going to be defending Shea again. Like, I mean, it's going to happen. And
how much money in the Torian Bowl?
This has not been my Torian podcast.
It has not been a Torian podcast. I barely brought it up.
I'm purposely being very like, because it's not on him, it's on Darvin. Like, and Darvin is going to put him in on Shea again, and it's going to be an embarrassment again.
Hopefully he throws Nando or Cam on him this time, but no, you're right. Like, that is a very low likelihood they beat all these teams. Luka's out right now, so you might catch a break there. He's out with the ankle.
Watch Luka's back for LA.
Yeah, Luka returns. We're already like 2-0-2 against Dallas this season. Kind of crazy. We've already lost two games.
And I'm pretty sure both games were like games that we should have won too.
Yep. Yeah, both were stupid.
There was that one where they like didn't try, and then they like came all the way back in LA, and they were up by like three. And then Kyrie just took over at the end, and then there was that one without Kyrie where we should have won when Dante Exum hit a thousand threes in a game.
I
wonder if we would be so frustrated with Darvin if they've won some of those close games, but
there's those two. There's like that Kings game very early in the season when Gabe Vincent played way too much.
I don't know. I guess it just would depend on the players, because like just watching the players, they're so done.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mavs, even without Luka, just beat the Knicks, and the Knicks are better than the Lakers.
The Knicks are really good right now.
Full stop. Yeah, they're better.
With OG and all them.
The trade seems to have really worked out for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who would have thought OG's a winning player?
Who would have thought?
He's a little thing.
He's a little thing.
I think he's better than Luol Deng.
Deng was really good at one point.
Deng was good, ridiculous.
He was. I think OG has higher defensive potential. Like, I like his defensive.
But I don't think he's there yet, though. I think he can be better than Deng, but I don't think he's there yet.
He's perfect for their team, though.
I will say that if he had not dealt with the injuries he's dealt with, he would be better.
But then we could say that about Luol as well, though. If he didn't deal with the injuries that he dealt with, he would have been really, really
good. Luol then also wasn't 5 years older than what it said that they said he was.
Right. Luol only missed, only had like two seasons in Chicago where he missed significant time.
Poor Luol Deng, man. So. That guy was brought in to be a savior for LA for no fault of his own.
God, I still remember that those messages from Dimpat, man. I was just like, what the fuck? Which, shout out to Dimpat, our buddy who has not been in one of our chats for like 4 years. Yeah. And he posted that he graduated, got his doctorate. I don't even remember what school it was, but yeah, shout out to Dimpat, even though he'll never hear this because he's too important now. But yeah, whatever. It's next week we'll be here. They'll have lost three more, and we'll just be like, even Raj will still be like, when do we have race, or how many race do we have left? And I'm just gonna mute him at that point.
they lose the next three. I can guarantee you that Athletic article is coming out of Darvinham's seat is on
players only meeting.
Yeah, all that they need. I don't think they will, because I know LeBron and AD are gonna give a shit about the OKC and Dallas games. They just are. We're gonna get ran off the floor in Utah, and then next two games they're going to care. And
I don't know, man. We've seen Dallas games where they do not. At least LeBron has not given a shit until at the end of the game.
He did not give a shit against the Kyrie-less Mavs until the very end, and then they still fucked it up. So, like,
yeah.
And he also didn't give a shit against KD and Booker. So, I mean, it's KD and Booker. I know the Suns aren't as good as they were supposed to be, but they're still KD and Booker.
Doesn't care. My conspiracy, Allen had his conspiracy earlier of the Clippers game. He would have been fired. I say LeBron really tried during that game to not put any heat on him for being a quote-unquote coach killer. He tried. And awesome. He'll be like,
a conspiracy.
Yeah. I look. We beat the Clippers. I played well. You know, we care about playing against them. And then I don't know.
Conspiracy was that Anthony Davis didn't want to be looked at as someone.
Yeah. Ellen, I love you so much. I love you so much. No, I know. I know.
Alan's factual take.
I wouldn't be surprised if my was more factual as well. It wouldn't.
But what is there? Is there any conspiracy about like Max Christie? What was his role in all this?
Oh man. them trading Max is going to hurt, because I know it's coming, because they're too fucking stupid.
No, they shouldn't have.
Rob is stupid. Rob is stupid. It's gonna happen.
They should not have to trade Max. Like, Max hasn't even played.
Any of those guys, you bet you will.
You shouldn't even have to. Let's be real. You shouldn't even have to trade Jalen Hood-Schifino. But they will.
Finally, hey, wow, what a concept! He's playing in the G League.
Look at that.
Lord have mercy.
He looks really good in the G League.
Also, my Cam Whitmore agenda is slowly dying because he's actually been good for the Rockets.
I can't.
Recently, keep it going though.
I can't do it. Yeah, no, I can almost, if for either LaVine or Murray, Christie's gonna be gone, and it's gonna hurt. It's gonna, and we're still gonna see Torian Prince at 31 minutes because fucking Darvinham is a fucking shit.
$2.
29 minutes for Zach LaVine. 33 minutes for Torian Prince.
Yeah. Torian Prince at 33 minutes and Zach LaVine at 24 minutes, just because why not?
LaVine and Austin Reeves fighting for minutes while Torian Prince
6 weeks in. Is it the right move to bring Zach LaVine off the bench?
God.
You can't mess with the starting lineup, man. That's the key.
Oh, I can't.
Sixth man of the year campaign for Zach LaVine.
Man. Oh, my God.
I can't. All right, fuck this team.
Yeah. We'll be all right.
That's supposed to make me happy. Pete Carroll's left. United are a dumpster fire. What and what do I get? I get even worse incompetence from the Lakers. Because at least with United, right, I have a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's that the Glazers have given up sporting control. They have nothing to do with that side of the club anymore. And that makes me really, really happy, right? Seattle, I'm excited, if nothing else, to see who we hire. Until and we hire when? Mike. Until
you're going to get Mike McCarthy, yeah.
But then even that wouldn't be a horrible hire. But we can talk about that later off air. But the Lakers are supposed to bring me happiness. They do not. They make me even more mad. And it's really, really frustrating. But yeah.
At least you have Hunter, Alan. At least you have Hunter.
Yeah.
Good point. At least you have other sports. You have other sports. I don't.
You need to get. Listen, at this point, it's a you problem, Raj. We tried.
Just be a bandwagon Rams fan, Raj. They're in the playoffs.
I tried. I just can't. I can't get into it.
You know what? It's so much more technical too. The fact that you haven't gotten into it and it's more technical.
I know. I tried.
You need to watch a game with me and Clay on a watch party so we can explain to you what's happening. Because okay. I feel like that would help.
Raj, they're roughing the white. What does that even mean?
I do have one football question. What is what was that play where like someone moves on the line and they call it like offside? Someone moves.
Motion?
No, offside? Not motion. Like not offsides.
False start.
Yeah. What the hell is a false start?
It's before the ball is snapped. You cannot move until the ball is snapped.
On the offensive line.
But I see the players like walking around all the time, like before the ball.
That's a motion though. Yeah. They're motioning. That's guys, a different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Calling
all players are allowed to move. To move forward. You are not allowed to move forward.
Yeah, you can go cross, like, on the line.
The only exception is if a running back is going to, and it's called that he's going to motion out to the flat, but. Anyways, we can talk about that later.
All right, let's. Yeah,
that's done. Thank you, Raj. Maybe we'll.
One football question. You know what?
I already want to plan this for next week. We'll see if I can make it because it's actually next week. The party for my middle child. She'll be 4 years old, so I probably won't be able to. Maybe have to do a different day. But I cannot wait to see. What everyone's reaction is next week.
If we win by 25 in the next 3 games combined, I'm not even saying combined, win by 25 each game. If we win by 25 combined over the next 3 games, I will personally PayPal all 3 of you gentlemen $15.
What if it's every game, but it's by 1 point every game?
I like this. No, I like
25.
This.
25 combined.
25 combined. I'll take it.
We're doing every game by the buzzer beater.
You are getting no money off me, man.
I thought. What if they win by LeBron scoring 21 points or over and then Anthony Davis scoring 39 points and over every game?
I'm not a bookie. I'm just saying. So let's see.
Give me Austin Reeves on the over.
One, and then they win one by 23.
Give me Torian Prince minutes over. Give me.
Again, I am not a bookie. Before the UK Betting Commission comes down on me, I am not a bookie. I am not taking bets illegally. This is just a wager between me and 3 friends.
He's just taking legal bets.
Oh man, we play the Clippers again. Jeez.
Yep.
You're looking at schedule. All right.
That'll do it, folks. Thank you for listening to us. We'll see how it is next week. That'll be interesting. Cool. All right. Bye.
Peace.
Go Darvin.
Go Darvin.